Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
As author Jennifer Skiff said, dogs, for a reason that can only be described as divine, have the ability to forgive, let go of the past, and live each day joyously. It's something the rest of us strive for.
Welcome to the world of Connor Animal Shelter in Monta Vista. You'll hear about beautiful dogs just waiting to be someone's beloved companion. You're going to hear Michelle Santee, Keith V. Hill, and Katrina Cunningham, three people who obviously love animals and especially the dogs that come into their care from all sorts of situations. The entire staff of Connor Animal Shelter, also known as the Upper Rio Grande Animal Society, don't just work there. They love their jobs. They love the dogs, and they put their heart into helping these dogs become socialized, overcome fear of past trauma, and just learn how to trust again. That's more than a job. That's something that can only come from the heart. Connor Animal Shelter is a no-kill facility. Every dog is given the chance to live good lives full of love. All they need is to find their perfect human companion. Is that you? Or maybe you'd enjoy fostering a pet, letting them live with your family while you love and care for them until their forever human comes along. You might find yourself falling in love with the dog you foster, and you become their home, their world. Of course, there are always opportunities to volunteer as well. You can't imagine what just a little bit of your time could mean to those furry friends. Understand that when you bring a pet into your home, it's forever. They become a beloved family member. Connor Animal Shelter goes to great lengths to make sure these sweet dogs are going to loving homes. They conduct an application process, a background check, and a fence check on people coming to adopt. Visit Connor, look at those faces, watch their wagging tails, and you may just find your perfect companion. Watch for upcoming events as well. Those events, along with ways that you can help and donate, can be found right here on this podcast page. Whether you're looking to adopt, foster, volunteer, donate, or just have questions, please visit the Connor Animal Shelter. Visitors are always welcome, and the staff will gladly take you on a tour of their facility. Be prepared to leave just a bit of your heart there.
I'm Adam, and joining us in the SL Voices studio today are the good folks from the Connor Animal Shelter. Actually, it's known as the Upper Rio Grande Animal Society, doing business as the Connor Animal Shelter. Joining us are Michelle Santee, Katrina Cunningham, and Keith V. Hill. We'll go around the table and learn a little bit more about everybody. Michelle, I understand you are the director and grant coordinator?
Correct.
Where are you originally from?
I'm actually from Belgium.
Really?
Yes. I came here with my dad. My dad was in the Belgium military. We came here in 1970, met my husband and married in 74. Gary graduated from the Naval Academy. I met him through the Naval Academy, and he was in the Navy for 21 years. Then we just decided to retire here. Once he retired, he wanted to teach and got a job here at Monta Vista High School. And so we've been here ever since 1995.
Wow, that's a long way from
it
here
is.
To here. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, your history, your past.
I'm from Belgium, so I grew up there. And when I met my husband, we traveled all over the world, literally all over the world. Every 2 to 3 years, once in the military, we traveled everywhere. I have two kids that are now men, 44 and a 43-year-old. Four grandkids now. One was just born about a week and a half ago. I do speak French still, not fluently, but I do speak French. Came here, worked at the school. When we moved here, I ended up being the IT director over at Monta Vista Schools and retired from there in 2018.
How did you end up with the Connor Animal Shelter?
Love animals, all kinds of animals, and love dogs. And they were looking for, you know, help there too. So I decided to be a part of it.
Also joining us is Keith V. Hill. You are the vice chair of the board, and I understand all-out animal lover.
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the studios. Where are you originally from, sir?
I am originally from Sawatch.
Right up the road.
Yep. Pretty much have lived in the valley my whole life, except for 8 years marriage. I lived in Dallas. I started off with the Red Cross as just a junior volunteer when I was young. I had just celebrated 30 years, got my 30-year pin from the Red Cross. and I decided it was a time for a change. I heard about the shelter from, you know, the newspaper and then from Michelle, and I decided that I wanted to be involved. I filled out an application, and the rest is history. I have adopted 2 dogs from the shelter, and another dog is a rescue, so I guess 3. I just said it was just going to be foster, but after one night, it ended up becoming permanent. So I really enjoy, you know, what we stand for, and I really want to make the community aware of what we do instead of other things you hear.
Sure. Well, we're going to get into all of that here in a little bit, too. And last but certainly not least, Katrina Cunningham. Hi, Katrina.
Hello.
You are the shelter manager?
Yes, I am.
Where are you originally from?
Originally from California, just north of Sacramento. Lived there for a few years, and then I moved to Oregon. Then I've been from one side of the country to the other. I've been to every state you can think of, basically.
Well, how did you end up in the San Luis Valley then?
We were actually on our way to Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yep. We just stopped for a weekend and then ended up buying a house.
What was it about this area?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I mean, I put a bid on a house out in Pennsylvania, Lykens. And the next thing I know, I've bought a house here, my kids are enrolled in school, and we haven't left.
Well, let's talk about the Connor Animal Shelter. And again, it's Connor, not Conur. We've heard it pronounced both.
That's what I was told. It's Connor.
Can you give us a little history about it? You know, how and who started it?
The board was established in December of 2010. We took it over, and then Dr. Childress had the shelter prior. He was retiring, and we decided to take it over. Elizabeth Connor helped in a lot of, she's our benefactor, gave us a, you know, basically trust money to help us get it all going and everything.
And, you know, the question, or just go into it, part of this is, why did the organization start?
Yes.
Is for the need for stray and unwanted dogs and to find homes for them.
And where are y'all located at?
We're located at 2825 Sherman Avenue, and that's pretty much right behind Alpine.
There are a lot of neglected dogs and everything in the valley. Which is everywhere. We try to help as much as we can.
That's where we're going to go next. Let's get into some details about Connor. You are a no-kill shelter?
That's correct.
What does that mean?
No-kill means that we give every dog a chance, no matter what. But the only time that we would euthanize would be for medical reasons. And we do have a vet that would establish that there is a need for that. We also transfer dogs to no-kill shelter primarily. Now, once in a while, we do transfer them to limited open admission, which is a low-kill shelter. But even in that case, if for some reason a dog that we transfer to them, they cannot find a home for it, then we request that they contact us so that we could possibly get the dog back.
So you've got a network of shelters that you're working with.
Yes, we do.
Wonderful. Can you tell me who some of those are?
We have Denver Dumb Friends League. We have Foothills. We have Gunnison. Glenwood Springs, and there is one primary coordinator, Paige Santini, who basically helps us find homes for shelters. We've established connections with some of the shelters ourselves, but we will tell her, okay, we have these dogs that are needing transfer. She will look for the perfect place for them, and then we'll let us know, and then someone comes down and transfers the dogs. So she really has more of a network. But like I said, we do transfer ourselves to some of the other ones that we made communication with.
And you're also hooked up with Adopt-A-Pet.
Adopt-A-Pet is our website where we put all the dogs that are available. We try to put as much history as we can, but sometimes we just have the people that are interested call the shelter to get more information. Most of our dogs are there with pictures and the basic information on the dogs.
Tell me a little bit about your daily duties, keeping the animals safe and the clean environment. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
We have a staff of 5 that come in almost every morning. And we start out, we give everybody their food, check the waters, go through, get our dogs put outside when they want to go out. Then we start our cleaning routine, which our cleaning routine lasts 3 to 4 hours. Just basic cleaning. That's not detailing. We do a lot of cleaning.
What all is involved in doing that?
We do our first scrub, then we use our sanitizer, then we go through and we re-scrub everything. To clean the kennel, it's a 4-step process usually, because we spray them down, scrub them down, rinse them, and then just before everything's done, we put another layer of water across just to make sure that there's no chemicals left.
And you do this every day?
Every day.
Wow.
We do it for every kennel.
I understand you actually get a cleanliness rating from the state?
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
The last one, she gave us a grade rating. It was sometimes in the spring. I'm sorry, I don't have the date on that.
It was in May of 2019.
There you go. She's always said that everything looks really clean. Do we have some places that we need to improve? Definitely. At the time, we did have cats, which was a little bit harder. So we no longer do because the state required that we would have a cattery to have the cats there. And there's no way for us to be able to have a cattery. It's a separate building that we'd need to do. So everything is, you know, a lot easier somewhat without having the cats at this time. We still have a network to be able to give the cats to someone if anybody calls for cats.
Is that something you want to consider down the road, perhaps?
Possibly. We would have to be able to afford to build a building or have a building, which means we would need heat, electricity, water.
Proper drainage system.
Proper drainage, yes. It's a lot more involved than people realize, and it isn't because we do not want to have cats. We all love cats, but there is another organization here in the Valley that is able to care for them. Cats Alive is who we refer, people that call us for cats, and they're a tremendous organization. Lisa Carr, I think she's still the head of it, and she really helps tremendously with that, catching them, finding homes, finding a way to spay and neuter them, and that's one thing we do.
One of the things with Cats Alive is, and working with us, is they got a grant for spay and neutering, and we have those vouchers available. She's placed them in different communities throughout the valley. So if somebody needs a voucher, they can come in. It's pretty low cost, like I think it's $20. We've had quite a few sell. I love cats myself, and I just want to be able, you know, cats, dogs, whatever, to have that chance.
You're an animal lover, period.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. And Michelle, you're not just limited in your work here to Bonavista proper, are you?
No, we are not. There's a few shelters within the valley, and anyone can bring a dog anywhere they want to. We will take dogs from anywhere, even out of the valley, out of state. We've had people driving through from, let's say, Texas, and they find a dog. They'll drop the dog off either with us or with another one of the shelters. We are interconnected, and we do try to work together as much as we can, even transferring if we have to alleviate the amount of dogs that we may have or they may have. So we do try to work together.
Fostering opportunities. I understand that you offer this as well.
Yes, we do. And we are in need of foster parenting. So if anybody's interested, please contact us as soon as possible.
But what's involved in that?
We have older dogs that really need fostering. We would pay for all the medical. We can even give them food. Most of our fosters that we've had have been tremendous, and they've pretty much purchased that themselves. But medical, we would want them to contact us to make sure that's a high cost possibly for them, and we don't want them to do that. They would have to fill out a foster packet. There's a home inspection involved as well. That's a requirement from the state. We really, really do need foster parents, so please contact us.
And of course, people can come by and adopt.
They sure can.
At any time.
That's ultimately our goal.
Tell me a little bit about the adoption process.
The adoption process, when a potential adopter comes into the shelter, we show them the dogs that are available, and they'll go through, and if they like one, we have an application that they fill out. If it's a certain breed, like our bully breeds, we do a background check. We also do the home inspection and a fence check because we don't want the dogs to be getting out and right back in the shelter again.
You mentioned bully breeds. What are considered bully breeds and why?
Pits, Boston Terriers.
Bulldogs.
There's bulldogs. Any of the dogs that have big facial features and stuff. One of the reasons, especially for the pits, we do not want to adopt these kind of breed to people that might use them as bait dogs or for fighting, which happens. In the past, we have had dogs, and this has been a few years now, but we have had dogs that we've had as strays that had been bait dogs. So we just decided that we need to do a background check to make sure, and then, like Keith said, make a home visit and a fence check. We love our dogs, and we just don't want them to get into a situation to where they're going to be abused or even neglected. Those kind of breeds can be put on a chain and left, you know, on the back. Most of them, those are the ones that they're going to do that to. They sign a contract saying that they're not going to be tying them up on a chain as well. But it's pretty much mainly for the fighting and the bait dogs.
What is a bait dog?
The bait dogs are the dogs that they use to train the fighting dogs.
Oh, my.
When they have, yeah, it's pretty sad. they actually let him loose and let the dog that's going to fight basically hurt them or worse. We just don't want that. We're trying to make sure that this doesn't happen. We probably can't stop everything. We can't catch everything. We used to do a background check solely on the adopter. We now do a background check on anyone that's in the household, any adult that's in the household. Hopefully that deters some people. But then again, we have lots of people that love those kind of dogs as well, and we find great homes with them.
One of the things that I try to do when people are looking at some of the pit bulls, I try and educate them. The pit bull is one of the most misunderstood breeds. When I volunteered for a short time at the Dallas SPCA, Tina Marie Torres came in and did a little training with the volunteers and staff. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She has the Pit Bulls and Parolees show on Animal Planet. And it's really made my insight of pit bulls come. I've had two rescue pits when I was in Dallas. And it was sad when I moved up here, I couldn't bring them. But, you know, I try to educate them as much as I can because people just, oh, we don't want that dog because they're just going to attack my kids or they're going to attack me.
They have a bad rep. And really, pits are big babies. I have two that are mixed. They're the biggest babies. They're loving. They care for kids much more than people realize. They are a great protector. I was going to say guard, but protector is a better word for kids. Now, unfortunately, they can be vicious if you train them that way. But then any dog can. It isn't just the pit. You can do that to any dog. And that's what people need to understand. Like Keith says, we do try to educate people about that breed as much as the other one. Everybody needs to know. They don't understand a lot of the breeds that are out there. You can have what you consider a loving little lab turn on you as well. But the pits are, like Keith says, people don't understand them. So that's the first thing we do, especially if someone comes in and says, no, I don't think I want any. And then we try to find out why. What's the reasoning behind that?
Volunteers, I understand you're always looking for or in need of volunteers. How does someone do that?
When it comes to volunteers, we need it for all different things. Helping socialize the dogs and walking the dogs. The process pretty much to become a volunteer is you can come into the office and pick up a volunteer application, fill it out. Once that's done, then we turn it over to Michelle and she will do whatever she does.
We do background checks anymore on pretty much every employees as well. We just do that. And then I contact them to try to schedule a time that they can come out there, which is what I'm in the process of doing. But we don't have too many. So again, just like the foster, we need lots of volunteers. Like Keith said, there's lots of things that they can help with, even laundry, baiting a dog, special events, socializing a dog, you know, talking to them, walking them. The more people that are out there with the dogs, the better it is.
You mentioned special events. What have you got coming up?
The Rug Club is actually doing something for us on the 25th. They will be walking through town with some of our adoptable dogs, which is awesome. We are so looking forward to that. And I will have a table there. Martha was going to be there with me as well. We will have volunteer packets, foster packets, and adoption packets. We won't actually adopt the dogs right there. They'll be able to come back the next day, but we will have all the packets available there with some of our puppies, if we still have some there, just to let them know that we're there. A couple of days after, on the 28th, Tractor Supply is having a big event.
I believe it's going to be from 8 to 4 on the Saturday, the 28th. And Tractor Supply is going to have vendors from everywhere coming in. And we are going to try and get out there with, I think we decided on 6 dogs in the morning. And I think another 6 dogs in the afternoon. So if you don't see something you like in the morning, come back in the afternoon. We're guaranteed to have a dog for you.
Well, that's Tractor Supply in Alamosa.
Yes.
Okay. And then I think you mentioned, too, you're kind of in the planning stages of a 50s, 60s fundraiser?
Yeah, this is something that, you know, I just researched on what would be a good fundraiser, and that was one of the things that had come up, and I was planning it just to help raise money for the shelter. Plus, it brings everybody together and to have a good time.
So that's kind of in the planning stages. Stay tuned on your website, slvanimalshelter.com, or watch your Facebook. And of course, when that information comes available, we'll put it on the website for this podcast as well. So keep watching for that. It sounds like a lot of fun. A couple of things about the shelter I wanted to touch on. People can make donations. You're always accepting donations. You can even do that on your website.
Yes, we do have a PayPal button that's there. And if you are interested in donating through our website, just click on the and it will take you through the process. It's a very easy process. We also take it, you know, by mail if you are interested in doing that, which is URGAS, and it's P.O. Box 369 in Monta Vista, Colorado, 81144. Or you can come by the shelter and obviously make a donation there. A receipt will be either sent to you or given to you right there and then too, as well.
And you are a nonprofit organization, so this is a tax deductible.
Yes, it is. And the letter that we usually send with it will have our tax ID on it as well.
You actually even have a crematory available.
Yes, we do. We are the only crematory in the valley. The other one is in Buena Vista or Pueblo, or the closest one. We are pretty busy with the animals, but we do keep on top of it.
Okay, and that's not limited to just dogs either.
No. Oh, no. Now, you can't bring us a horse. We can't put that in there. We have had mouse.
Chickens.
Oh, yeah. We've had just about any kind of little animal. Actually, the other day, someone came with a skunk.
They brought me a black and white kitty.
Which was a skunk.
Not my favorite.
And then, of course, people can get the ashes back to keep them as a memorial.
Yes, they sure can. We box them, but we also have urns available if they're interested in that as well.
Also, let's say you have somebody that comes in and wants to have their animal cremated, but they don't want the ashes back. Right by the crematorium, we have what we call like a Connor Memorial Garden, where that's where we'll spread the ashes. We do have some stones that are out there that are, you know, in memory of a pet or stuff like that. And it's, to me, that's better than just getting your ashes and, you know, maybe throwing them out in the back 40. It was very touching to me the first time getting a tour and seeing that back there.
Most people want their ashes back. We do private cremations as well, which the cost will be a little bit more on that too. We've only had a handful of people that actually want to be there, whether it's at the beginning or the end, once the ashes are there. But that does happen. We are able to do that. They obviously don't stay there the whole time, but we are able to do that as well.
Well, it's a wonderful, loving way to take care of your pet.
It is.
And one thing that I've done that I kind of started was I asked the people who bring their pet in for a picture, and I will get like Footprints on My Heart poem or the Rainbow Bridge, and I put that together and laminate it, and when they come in to pick their ashes. I've received good compliments on that.
It's awesome.
We also can do paw prints if they request it.
And each cremation is done separately.
Yes, all the ashes are completely separated when they go in and when they come out. Everything's tagged, labeled. We know what pet we have at all times.
The semi-private cremations, we could have more than one dog in there, depending on the size of dog, but they are all in a, quote, pan.
Individual.
Like individual pan, and they are tagged, and they are also mapped so that we know exactly when the ashes are pulled out, you know, which dog belongs to which person, basically. So we do not mix the ashes up at all.
Who have been some of your favorite dogs? Perhaps you could share some of your more memorable adoption stories.
There's tons of them. I mean, I've been doing this since 2010. There's too many for me to even say. So every single dog is a story to me, a happy ending, especially when they're adopted. And you see the smile on the adopter's face and the smile on the dog's face, the happiness that the dog has. There probably were a few that were a little bit more touching than others, but honestly, to me, I was happy when they all found a home.
I see a lot of social media posting, and there's always happy faces with people who are adopting dogs.
Yes, there are.
I actually have two. One dog that we had, his name was Grayson. We were just trying to find him a home, and we had a family from Salida that had adopted Grayson. They absolutely, you know, love him. I try to keep in touch with them. I was in Salida about a month ago, and we were at a birthday party, and the family comes walking up the street, and they have Grayson. And his tail was waggling. He was so happy. That's what I like to see. That's what we all like to see. And the other one is, I was sitting in the shelter one day working on, and we had one of our local animal control officers brought in this little dog. And I didn't see it at first. And then I went back to where we have our small dogs. And there was this little chihuahua, and she's sitting there just shaking and so scared. I opened the gate, and I took her out, and I says, I'm going to foster her. Now, this dog, I ended up adopting her. She never leaves my side. She is so happy. That little tail just goes a wagging anytime. So those are my two memorable ones.
Katrina, what about you?
Honestly, my favorite adoption hasn't happened yet.
Oh?
We've had 43 adoptions in the last month. My favorite adoption is going to be the one that comes in as the very last dog that we have. Once I can say every dog in that shelter has gone home, that will be my favorite one. Up until then, there's a couple of dogs that I have preferences, you know, like Fido, which is our little pug that we have there. He likes to be carried around like a baby. He's my friend. You know, the Chihuahuas, they all seem to get along, but we have some that they're the ones that I'm waiting for when they go home. That'll be one of my favorites.
On the foster part, most of the dogs that we have there, we need fosters for older dogs, the senior dogs. Most people do not want to adopt senior dogs, so it's really hard for us to see them stay there for the amount of time that they have to be there. To transfer an older dog is also very hard because a lot of shelters have the same problems we do. It's hard for them to find adoptions for them. So if we could find fosters for our senior dogs, that would be awesome.
Do you have a typical or average turnaround time for the younger dogs and the older ones?
I looked it up last year, and for our younger dogs, it was probably an average of 15 days, maybe. For the older dogs, it could be much longer than that. We do have one dog right now that has been with us since 2016. He is a shepherd mix. His name is Tank. He was hard at first for people to even get in there with him. He is getting older. He's a tremendous dog. He would probably need to be in a single dog or single animal home, I think. Although he doesn't seem to be bothered with the other dogs that are, you know, there as well. But we would have to make sure of that. I would love to find someone to even take him. We had a Mastiff mix. His name was George. And we had him for quite a while. Didn't like a lot of people, except to some. And we ended up actually transferring him up to Denver. He was fostered there. And then they found a family for him. And we do keep updated with them. That's what we want for Tank as well. We want someone to be able to come down and meet him. I think he'd be tremendous for a family.
He would be a great dog as long as you kept him a little metal bowl that he can play
yeah.
with.
He loves metal balls.
He doesn't like chew toys. He doesn't like tennis balls. He likes his little metal pan that he can sit there and just bang across the ground.
As the director, what do you wish you had known when you started this?
Let me also say, I'm co-director. Every board member is a director, although he's a vice chair. So I am basically a board member, grant coordinator.
Okay.
I'm not the director. I mean, she thinks I'm her boss. It's the board is...
kind of a governing body.
Yeah, okay. It's a governing body, exactly. How hard it would be to find homes for dogs. I didn't realize how hard it was. I didn't realize how hard it would find people to adopt them, good people to adopt them. And it isn't just here. It's all over, probably the world for that matter. It's hard to find good people to give them good home. I didn't realize it was that hard. I really wanted to be in there, and I still do, because I wanted to find homes. But it was a fun thing, you know, for me. All these dogs are going to turn over should be pretty quick. It's not. It's not that easy to find homes for them. And it's sometimes sad to see some of the ones that have been there for longer than just even 2 weeks. Had I known that it would be that hard, would I have still done it? Yes, sure. I'll continue to do this because the dogs need all our help.
Katrina, what about you?
Honestly, if I'd known how much work goes into behind the scenes when you go to adopt a dog, it would have made me think about this a whole different way. Well, because when you go in, you just think, oh, well, they've got a couple of dogs, you know, they're just sitting here. Nobody really thinks about the hours and hours you spend training them, working with them. Because when we get dogs in, we get scared, frightened, little pups, their humans just left them. And so their world is kind of crashed. I'm one of the first ones that they see, so I'm there with treats and pets, and we play, and I throw the ball, and then eventually they come around. So, I mean, if I had known how much work was into it, I might have thought twice, but I still would have worked. I still would have been there. It's a great job. I love working with the dogs.
Keith, what about you?
I guess I'd kind of have to agree with the both of them. Would I change it for the world? No. I finally have found a place, an organization that I love. I'm so happy that I was able to come into this opportunity because you see all this stuff on TV and Facebook about dogs that don't have homes or this and that. We're that group that helps them find new humans. And that's the most important thing.
That's awesome. So I imagine that's one of the favorite parts about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Michelle?
It is. Knowing that, or at least trying to find places for these animals, and knowing that you, not just me, as a shelter, find places for them is very rewarding. I wouldn't trade this for the world. I mean, I really wouldn't. Do we have hard times? Yes, we do have hard times. One of the biggest thing is we really would like the community to understand who we are. And if they do question us, if there's things going out there that they're not quite understanding about something, we want them to come out there. We want them to come to the shelter. We want them to get to know all of us and get to know the dogs and see what our facility is all about.
So don't waste time on social media. Pick up the phone and call. Come out and see you.
Exactly. We will answer any questions. We have nothing to hide. You know, we're transparent. So please do come out. We want people to come out. Maybe they'll volunteer. Maybe they'll adopt. That's important to us.
Well, it leads me right into our last question. If you had the power to change one misconception or preconceived notion about the Conner Animal Shelter, what would that be?
Some people still think that we are a kill shelter. Why? I do not know. I'm not sure what started that, but we are not. Like I said previously, we do euthanize, but we euthanize for medical reason, because there is no way that we can medically fix the dog because either they're too old and hurting to the point to where there's nothing they can do, or they have cancer that is not operable. That's my biggest thing right now, is to make them understand that we are a no-kill shelter.
Well, it becomes a quality of life issue for the animal at that point, too. If they're suffering and hurting and there's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
And I think that's why we like our fosters, because if you have a dog that's old, like the Chihuahua that I adopted, she's probably between 9 and 11 years old, she's going to have a quality of life instead of being found on the streets. I agree, the no-kill shelter thing is a big concern, especially when you're out in the community and you're walking down the grocery aisle and you hear it. I'll come in and I'll say the same thing. Why don't you come out to the shelter and see for yourself? And some people come, some people don't.
Anything else that any of y'all would like to mention or discuss?
One thing, from when I actually started volunteering before I actually joined the board, from then to now, I am so happy with the staff that we have. We have one staff member that we just hired. She is great with the dogs. She has no problem getting down to their level, getting down on the ground and being with them. That's something we were looking for.
Turning the dogs around. Dogs that we really didn't think something could be done with them. Not that we didn't think something could be done with them, but we didn't have the person that would be able to do this. Our staff is definitely able to care for the animals. And what we've noticed, like Keith says, in the last few months here, with the new staff that we have, they are able to get down to the level of the dogs and are able to socialize the dog and turn them around to where a dog that we thought maybe would take months to rehabilitate doesn't anymore. They're there and they help them and they become adoptable much faster. We do have a tremendous staff and we really appreciate them.
And of course, you could always use more volunteers.
Definitely.
And donations to help the shelter may be made on your website or in person or mail. Michelle, Katrina, Keith, I want to thank you all for coming by the SL Voices studio to tell us what's going on at Conner Animal Shelter, and certainly urge people to pick up the phone, call if they've got questions, come out and visit you. You've got an Adopt-a-thon coming up. You've got a walk coming with the Rut Club coming up too. Get involved with this and find out what's happening at the Conner Animal Shelter. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think dogs are the most amazing creatures. They give unconditional love. For me, they're the role model for being alive. Actress Gilda Radner.
The Upper Rio Grande Animal Society, doing business as the Conner Animal Shelter, welcomes you to visit their facility, to volunteer your time, to make a donation, which will aid them in continuing the wonderful work they do, and of course, to foster or adopt a loving dog. The Conner Animal Shelter is located at 2825 Sherman Avenue in Monta Vista. But through their extensive network, they help to serve the entire San Luis Valley region. Call them today at 719-852-3366. That's 719-852-3366. Or visit their website, slvanimalshelter.com. That's slvanimalshelter.com. Whether you're looking to adopt, foster, volunteer, or you just have questions, the friendly staff welcome you to find out more about the Connor Animal Shelter, a no-kill facility.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley.